Think of the words that framed this election. Bitter, tense, nasty, acrimonious, the list goes on. The election, in some cases, turned friends against one another, caused couples to retreat into silence. We've heard that from some of our callers. The American Psychological Association confirmed election stress disorder was a real thing.
Well, now that the election's over, how do we heal our relationships? How do we unify and move forward as a nation and with our family and our friends and our neighbors? And we want to hear from you on this. How are you moving on? Are you ready to move on, or is it too soon? Call us at 800-642-1234.
Clinical psychologist Janice Abrams-Spring says reconciliation sounds good, but it's not always possible, especially after what we just experienced. She's the author of How Can I Forgive You? The Courage to Forgive, the Freedom Not to. Janice, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, this was a divisive presidential election. I don't think there's a lot of argument there. We heard anecdotes of people not talking to each other, in some cases even married couples, a spike in therapy sessions over election fears. How can we heal now that we're a day past the actual election day?
There's this term called homophily, which is basically says that often married couples, partners, have the same worldview, and people do tend to bond and associate with people who are like-minded. So there may be an exaggeration of the number of couples who are at each other's throats about this election. It may be more that married couples are more similar in their political views, those who tend to bond together. Now, that doesn't mean that people aren't incredibly rattled. And within families, there are tremendous differences that people feel vehemently about. And that's going to be incredibly divisive as we head into Thanksgiving and the Thanksgiving feast. Family members are going to have to negotiate these differences among each other and with the friends and families and everyone in their world.
We heard from some callers. I remember a caller on this show, a woman who called and shared with us that she and her husband hadn't spoken to each other since one of the presidential debates, and there they are in the same house not speaking at all. And we also received this recorded comment from a sophomore at UW Oshkosh whose political views differ from his girlfriend's, and they're trying not to damage the relationship. And here's that clip.
I identify as a Republican, but my girlfriend identifies as a Democrat. It has created some tense moments in this election cycle, but I think it has created more thought-provoking conversations than it has tense moments. Something that I have found to work is that each of us finds some common ground, and we just talk about something that we each believe in, and we don't try to change what the other person believes.
It's an interesting tack. So they try to find common ground and talk through it, have some interesting conversations. Do you recommend that, Janice, or do you think at this point the wounds are too tender and it's better to maybe talk around it?
Yeah, well, it sounds from this interview that they're trying to respect each other's differences. And again, I think that if you go into it, you know, with a curiosity, that's helpful. Help me to understand the reasonableness of your position. You know, if you go in with, and that's really sincere, I don't know that many of us are really capable of that because we have such strong opinions, and of course we think we're right and you're wrong. But if you go in with that attitude, is I really want to understand why you voted for this candidate, to treat you as a reasonable, intelligent human being who makes good decisions, and you're genuinely curious about that. You know, if you go in and it's going to be a battle and you just want to prove I'm right and you're stupid, well, things aren't going to go well.
Yeah, sit us down at the Thanksgiving table, and we know Uncle So-and-so is on the opposite side. How do we get from, goading each other, dropping talking points of our side against their talking points? Is it better to just not talk about that stuff at all, or is it good to try to open that door and have a positive as possible dialogue?
Yeah, there's actually a very funny Saturday Night Live skit on this, where family sits down and it's with the turkey and everyone is looking forward to seeing each other, and they start talking about political views and they just tear at each other's throats. And in between, Adele starts to sing, and every time there's this argument, Adele's voice comes on and sort of drowns everybody else out. I think that it's a lot to manage, and I really think that before you sit down at the table, you know probably who is going to prick you and who you'll get along with. And I think it's helpful to have a mental plan before you go in. What is this Thanksgiving meal going to be about for you? So when you leave the table, how is it going to feel? What is it? What is going to be your input? How are you going to make that happen? And I think having that kind of intention before you set foot in the door, and appreciate who's going to rattle you and how you might respond to that, can go a long way in controlling those emotions. Otherwise, it's just going to be a mess.
We're talking with clinical psychologist Janice Abrams-Spring about how we can unify as a nation in our community and also just with our friends, our family, our neighbors. How can we move forward now that the presidential election is behind us? And Janice, what about the victors in this match? If you're someone who was backing a candidate who won, be it at the presidential level or something further down the ticket, what's a good approach to dealing with, you know, the people who might not be feeling so happy?
You're asking about people who have voted for those who have been defeated?
Who have won, yeah, who have, well...
To not gloat and...
Right, getting at issues of gloating. What if you want to walk in and go, I won, your person lost? I mean, right. What should you do?
Right, again, you know, there's politics and then there's family. And I think people have to know what the intention is of the evening. You know, do you want to feel victorious? Do you want to win the argument? Do you want to have a nice evening? Do you want to demonstrate tolerance among to your children? I think people have to have in mind before they enter the door, what is it that they want this evening to look like? I remember on a very personal level, I was thinking about this interview, and I remember just a couple of weeks ago was the Jewish holidays. And at the end of Yom Kippur, there's also often something called a break fast, where you go over to families or you go over to a friend's house and you eat to break the fast. And the fast starts the night before and lasts the day of Yom Kippur. So I'm a Reformed Jew, and I go to my friend's house, and this woman comes up to me, and she said, how was your fast? And I said, well, actually, I don't fast. And she looked at me, and she said, well, you can't be a good Jew if you don't fast. So I had to decide how I wanted to respond to that at my friend's house. This is a typical kind of thing that could happen in with the politics. That somebody makes some kind of blanket statement that is so really obnoxious and and so hard-edged. And I looked at her. I said, "Well, you know, we all have different ways of being Jewish, and I do consider myself a good Jew, and I don't fast." But I was struck by her stridency and. I think this is the kind of thing that's going to happen with the politics. So people are going to come in with very rigid ideas, very black and white. You know, A is good, B is bad. You voted for A, you're a jerk. I vote for B, I'm right. You're a racist. You're a woman hater. I mean, there are all kinds of labels that people can throw around, and it's going to lead to fireworks. It's going to rapid escalation and a divisiveness that is very hard often then to heal. And again, I think people have to really think through what, when they walk out of that Thanksgiving meal, what is it that they want to accomplish?
Let's bring on a caller now. Donna is with us in Brookfield. Donna, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I think that in order for this country to heal, it's going to have to be up to us, the people. It's going to have to be like a grassroots movement. We're going to have to reach across to our neighbor and figure out, why did they vote the way they voted? How is it that they're hurting? Because the politicians in Washington just don't have the capacity to do this. So it has to start with us. And we have to learn to meet people part of the way and just to compromise. When did compromise become such a horrible thing? Thank you, and I really enjoy your show.
Donna, thanks for the compliment, and thanks for the call. So people taking the initiative themselves to maybe, we hear about, Janice, this big sort in the country where more and more we, and you alluded to this earlier, we're only in contact with people with similar views to ourselves. She's saying, let's take the step, painful as it might be, to reach across that.
Yes, I mean, I think that if you can invite somebody, help me to understand your point of view, and you really are doing that with an open heart. You are a reasonable, intelligent human being, and you have voted differently than I have. Help me to understand what your thinking is. Educate me. Help me to understand what your thinking is. If you can really do that with an open heart, you might learn something. If you're just going to go in to prove how stupid the other is or how ill-informed, then, you know, then you're in for a battle. And I don't know what it's worth.
We're talking with clinical psychologist Janice Abrams-Spring about how we can unify as a nation, move forward now that the presidential election is behind us. She counsels people in particular on issues of trust and forgiveness. She's the author of How Can I Forgive You? The Courage to Forgive, The Freedom Not To.
You can join the conversation right now at 800-642-1234. Are you at odds with someone about the outcome of the presidential election? Did you feel tension during this election when you brought up politics around the dinner table? And maybe you avoided talking about the election altogether. What are your plans about dealing all this, especially now that we have Thanksgiving coming up and post-election season to look at? Add your story to our discussion. You can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our conversation with psychologist Janice Abrams-Spring. She's talking about how to reconcile with family and friends if you had a falling out with someone over this divisive election, and how should the nation go about healing as a whole.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page, maybe with your stories or your questions about a divide and trying to bridge it, maybe with friends and family. We'll go back to our callers. Amy is with us in Toma. Amy, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Amy?
Well, I'm a Clinton supporter, and I also have a lot of friends and family on Facebook. I do not personally put my political views out there, but I know a lot of people, a lot of my friends and family do. And in this election, I've had a couple people that I've unfollowed because every day the postings were so nasty. Today, there were many of them, and very nasty, saying things such as, you know, God has prevailed, and Clinton and your supporters are going to go to hell, and you're losers. And I don't even want to be friends with these people anymore. And some of them are actually family members. Some of them are close friends. I've been friends with for years. And I'm just so angry and disappointed in how they're goading and treating. And I'm not even sure what I want to do anymore, if I want to be their friend. I'm not even talking Facebook, but just their comments.
Amy, thanks a lot for that call. And Janice, I want to get to the last part of your book title, The Courage to Forgive, The Freedom Not To. How do we know when it's time to cut our losses, that someone has crossed a line that maybe you shouldn't forgive?
Yeah. Well, people tend to confuse forgiveness with what I call reconciliation. And by reconciliation, I mean what type of relationship you're going to have with this person, the degree to which you're going to be involved with them. So when you confuse the forgiveness with the reconciliation, what it means is if you have views that so offend me, I may decide that I can't have a relationship with you, I cut off from you. That's perfectly fine. You may decide to make a thoughtful decision about that, that given your stridency about that, your position, really, we're just so different. You offend me, and there is no relationship here. I don't even want to see you or talk to you or Facebook you or any of this. But another way of thinking about it is that often we have relationships with people that serve us in many different ways, especially with family members, where we don't necessarily agree with their views and we don't forgive their positions. But we make a decision that's a self-interested decision that we are going to get along for the sake of the relationship. It has some benefit for us. You know, it could be that you're with a mother or a father or a sister or a brother where it doesn't feel good to you to be cut off from this person because of a political view. In the end, someone's getting punished here, and it's often you, because it doesn't make you feel good about yourself when you can't talk to family members. And so separating out these concepts that you condemn a behavior, but you make a decision to have a certain degree of a relationship. It may be that you are, you know, you take interest in each other on the holidays, you get along in front of the kids, but it's not a kiss and make up, and it's not my views are your views.
Well, Amy, I hope that helps. I appreciate you calling and sharing your thoughts with us. And we're going to go next to Matt in Decorah, Iowa. Matt, hi.
Hi. I've just been hearing a lot of people talk about, you know, the divide or what made people vote for Trump. And I voted for Trump. And what made me do that was just because of my lifestyle of things that happened. And, for example, my son who has, at his worst, 2,000 seizures a day. And we lost our doctor when Obamacare kicked in. My wife also lost her insurance because of it. And I had a $50 an hour job that I lost. And because of that, I now have to work over 100 hours a week. I used to be in the medical business, but now I have to work 100 hours a week as a cook just to be able to pay for everything that I have to pay for. And so that's the reason why I voted for Trump, is because I didn't hear any change about the affordable health care or the things that actually affected me. And I think there's a lot more people like me that used to have really good jobs, but now, I mean, I can show my printout slips. I work over 100 hours a week, and I don't get overtime because I work too many jobs, but I have to work that just to support my family. And I voted for Trump just because I believe that that's going to make a change and be able to help me and help my family.
Matt, thank you so much for calling, and I'm sorry to hear about how things have gotten harder for you. And I think Matt is doing sort of one of the building blocks of what you're talking there, Janice, is that he's sharing information. And it sounds like if you're someone who didn't vote for Trump, who might be angry about that, it can help to hear what someone else is doing. Walk a little bit in their shoes if you can, and try to listen. What do you think?
Well, exactly. You know that. Yeah, you know, if you're just going to go in and you want to prove your superiority or your superior reasoning or whatever, you're in for a battle. But if you go in to try to understand the reasonableness and the humanity of the other person, help me to understand why you voted for X. What is your thinking? What is your story? You know, you open yourself up to learn about that other person's reasonableness. And it's not a battle. It's two human beings talking about their life experiences.
Matt, thanks a lot for that call. Time for one more caller. Amanda's with us in Appleton. Amanda, hi.
Hi. I'm a teacher at the high school level at a public school, and a majority of my students are white. And a lot of them, I found out today, were Trump supporters. I did know of a handful of them throughout the election process that were Trump supporters. And most of the time, their comments to me, just because they assumed I was voting for Hillary because I'm a teacher, most of their comments were filled with some of that hateful rhetoric and just shouting out things. And they definitely weren't in the frame of mind to be receptive. Today, when I came into school, I was kind of afraid of what I was walking into. So I rehearsed a response for them before I got to school, and it was something to the effect of, this has been one of the most divisive elections in our nation's history, And regardless of what the outcome was, we all need to be respectful to one another. And in this classroom, you will be respectful, and that is the expectation here. And to ensure that this happens, we need to avoid talking about politics. And the students were not big fans of my response to that. They wanted to jab, they wanted to poke, they wanted to prod at me. And I knew that there were a few students in the classroom that would make me feel very uncomfortable. So I had to just keep shutting it down, keep shutting it down. But what I'm afraid of is that they are misinterpreting my lack of desire to discuss politics with disapproving of their viewpoint.
Amanda, thanks a lot for sharing that story, and we'll give you the last word. Janice, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay. I don't know that I have a last word.
Oh, I'm sorry. For Amanda. Sorry, we're out of time, Janice, but thank you for joining us.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's Janice Abrams-Spring. She's a clinical psychologist and author of How Can I Forgive You? The Courage to Forgive, the Freedom Not To, talking about reconciliation after a contentious election time. You can share your thoughts still and your stories over at the Central Time Facebook page.